Welcome to episode 12, Talking with Ben Masters.
Hi, I'm Abigail Boatwright.
And I'm Kate Bradley Byers.
And together we form the Freelance Remuda. We are both passionate about horses, obsessed with media, and we love to tell stories with words and photos.
As freelancers, we know the value of professionalism and importance of connections. We have a thirst for improving our craft.
We want to give you the knowledge and tools to join us in elevating equine media, because when we help each other, everyone benefits.
Life can be interesting as a freelancer in the equine industry, but you're not alone. Grab a cup of coffee
or a glass of wine
and join us. Masters is an enigma. In 2010, as a college student, he and two friends took a multi-month pack trip, and I met him when Western Horseman did an article about that trip. When Ben came to us with a harebrained idea for a five-month, more than 3,000-mile border-to-border pack trip called Unbranded, we jumped right in to work with him again. Today, Ben runs Fin and Fur Productions, focusing on wildlife and outdoor storytelling. This 28-year-old has been published in Nat Geo and in Western Horseman. Ben created his own career and is forging a new freelance trail, combining his loves, outdoors, horses, and storytelling. Welcome, Ben.
Ben, Kate, you wrote a good bio for me. Nice work.
I am a writer, so.
Well, thank you.
Well, where are you? I see that you've got a whole bunch of trees behind you. Where are you at right now?
Right now, I'm in Austin, Texas.
Okay, very cool. Well, it looks like you've got an awesome job where you travel around creating content. Can you tell us what your job is to you and how it fits in your lifestyle?
Oh, man, I have a hard time.
He's thinking.
Describing what I do, because it kind of changes all the time. But I guess that I'm a writer. I write. I've got one book published, and I've got done a handful of magazine articles and some online content, and I make movies. Did Unbranded, which is a feature, and then another feature called Charge that's getting released this year. And then I've done quite a few short films, like stuff in the 5 to 7 minute length, some for Nat Geo and some for Yeti, and some just independent projects. But yeah, I love my life so much. You know, it's really cool. I'm super fortunate to get to do what I do and get to work with the people that I work with. Yeah, it kind of just changes. And, you know, it's kind of hard because I have a difficult time planning out more than like 6 months in advance. But yeah, wildlife, adventure, conservation, all those topics are very near and dear to me. And then I split off for a few months every summer and do pack trips in the high country and work with my horses. So, yeah, that's what I do.
So, really, your career kind of can go back to getting away in the high country. Really, if you give us kind of a rundown of how you got from a college kid that likes to pack into the mountains into having a career where you are really using those skills to create films and write articles. Can you tell us the rundown of your career path, how you got here?
Yeah, I mean, Unbranded launched me into the spotlight, and it has opened up so many doors. It's just been a great experience. It's, you know, the film turned out really great. It's just done so much for me. And I guess that started in 2010 to the ride that Kate referred to, where a guy named Parker Flannery and Mike Peatney, we did about 2,000 miles along the Continental Divide Trail in New Mexico, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana. And we didn't really know what we were getting ourselves into, but that's all right, because we ended up getting there and it all worked out nicely. And that was also my introduction to to wild horses, or to Mustangs, to BLM Mustangs. And we kind of look back on that journey and we're like, man, if we had filmed some of the stuff that happened to us, people would want to see it. So that was kind of the instigating moment or inspiration of doing another long journey from Mexico to Canada, and to make a film about it. So that culminated in Unbranded, and then that got released, and then that kind of launched my career because the movie turned out really good. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it turned out good is because we had like some awesome filmmakers help us make it. So mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that we're talking to you about your wildlife career, and there are a bunch of birds and dove and everything else in the background. It's like you have your own little nature soundtrack going on back there.
I mean, I can go inside.
No, it's cute.
We love it.
No, we like it. It sets the tone. So
tell me what you think has helped you the most along your career path to get this dream job where you are. Now, you talked about Unbranded. Did you have any skills that kind of paved the way for this, or tell us about that?
I mean, Unbranded was successful because it was a massive team effort. Mm-hmm. I was the person that got the snowball rolling down the hill, but it would not have been possible without, you know, number one, the director, Phil Baraboo, who was like, yeah, you have absolutely no experience in the film business, but I'll help you out. And, you know, his creative genius made that film possible. And then like all the Kickstarter donors, that helped us get funded, our investors. I mean, it was this massive, massive team effort. So I think that you know, the successes that I've had in my life are primarily due to, sorry, there's some lady honking at me. I hate being in this city. Well, I guess my job, most of the stories that I tell are about something that I'm passionate about. And I didn't really study photography or journalism or filmmaking, but I just saw those three things as a tool to tell stories or to get word out about some type of particular issue that I think is important. So, you know, I studied wildlife biology at Texas A&M University, but, you know, I've never had like a professional job as a wildlife biologist. I've worked on a bunch of ranches, and I love wildlife, obviously, but that kind of gave me the background and the science to tell a lot of the stories that I tell, because I can walk in and have a conversation about, you know, central foraging place theory and the intermediate disturbance hypothesis and like how amazing that is, and geek out with a bunch of nature nerds. And I don't think that I would have the ability to tell a lot of those stories if I couldn't speak a lot of the lingo and be able to, you know, shoot shit, talk about how cool pronghorn antelope are with pronghorn biologists. So yeah, you know, I think just getting out and working in the field and living the lifestyles of the people that I'm trying to tell their story, it makes it a lot easier than trying to cover some type of event that has horses involved in it whenever you don't know what a fetlock is or something like that.
I completely agree. Sometimes having that knowledge and being able to share an experience that you have, it opens up the person that you're speaking to, you know, for an interview, or just shows that you have a level of knowledge, and that opens up, you know, the experience for so much more. You know, you've had several photos obviously published in your book, published on the National Geographic website, and in Western Horseman. So you obviously didn't go to school for photography. So tell me about learning your job skills on the trail, if you will, and how you have continued to evolve, you know, as far as taking photos and video and that kind of thing.
Well, it's pretty hard to go into the mountains with a bunch of horses and screw up a photograph. Yeah, I mean, I guess my whole photography and filmmaking career got started. I was broke and needed some cash, so went and worked in the rigs for a while and got a 5D Mark III and some camera lenses and started taking pictures. And that kind of inspired my love for photography. I've definitely fallen in love with photography. I think that getting a shot right is one of the most satisfying things that you can do. You know, whenever you open it up and you're like, oh my God, I actually got it in focus and it tells the story and it's not blown out. Like, I love that feeling of getting a shot. And still photography is different than film. I think that still photography, like to take a good still photograph, is pretty easy. To take a like superb still photograph is really freaking hard. And I think that film is like really freaking hard all the time, just because not only do you have to have a pretty image, there also has to be something that happens in it, and you have to deal with audio, and I hate audio.
Tell us how you really feel, Ben. I mean, come on. So you mentioned a Canon 5D. You know, tell me a little bit about the equipment that you took on the trail and what equipment you use to take photographs with when you're out in the field. You know, and if you have any suggestions for people, like things that you've tried and it hasn't worked out that great as far as what equipment that you bring to an outdoor assignment.
I'm predominantly Canon, although Canon frustrates me sometimes. But yeah, I'm a big fan of the 5D Mark III. I absolutely love that Canon body or that camera body. And then I just got the upgraded version of that, the Canon 5D Mark IV. And it's great. I love it. It shoots 4K. The image quality on it is just awesome. It has its limitations. You know, it doesn't have XLR ports and you're stuck at 24 frames at 4K. But it's a wonderful camera. I love it. And then I shoot with a Canon C500 for video. It makes a really beautiful cinematic look, and it's got XLR ports for audio.
What was most of Unbranded shot with?
Unbranded shot on 5D Mark III and Canon C500.
All right, so and charged
is, yeah, do you have GoPros?
Oh, GoPros.
Awesome. That's, I cannot wait to see Charge. Like, I'm GoPros. Just saying, I've been watching the
Charge looks amazing. So
what is the time commitment, or typical hours that you spend doing your job now?
Well, I don't really have a separation between personal life and work, because like, and it drives my family nuts sometimes, but like what I want to do is my job. Like that's what I love to do. And even whenever I'm not supposed to be doing my job, I can't help going through a storyboard, planning some type of adventure, some type of trip. So I really don't have separation between life and work, because I just, you know, it's the same thing for me, I guess. But yeah, so, you know, 18 hours a day or so. But a lot of the product, I mean, for a feature film, it takes about 3 years or so. The two that we've made, it takes about 3 years before you have concept, something actually somebody can see. And for the short films, they typically take about 4 months or so. than books. I've only written one book. I said for writing, it depends how hard Ross Hecox is whenever he edits my stuff.
So when you're looking at a project, you said 3 years. So obviously you spent quite some time getting Unbranded together. And then, you know, you were on the trail for 5 months and then you had all these footage hours to edit. But, you know, when you look at taking on a project like Charged or one of your short films, how do you outline it? And then how do you price the cost commitment or fund that project? I know you use Kickstarter. I don't know if you use it for all of them or if that was just the first one, but tell me a little bit about how you price these and how you go about planning these long-term projects.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how to get stuff funded as well. So by no means have I mastered the art of making money at what I do, but it does support my lifestyle. But for the feature films that we've done, they've been a combination of Kickstarter, which is super crucial to get that seed money to like get it started. And I also think that it's very helpful in letting people know that you've started this project and letting them get involved in it at an early stage so they can feel ownership in it, and to try to include them in the process and, you know, have them come to different events or join in production or come to the Kickstarter. I think it's a cool opportunity for people. And then, you know, working with brands, you know, I've done some stuff with Yeti. They've been great to work with, really enjoy that company and working with them and a lot of the content that they create. And then, you know, different distribution networks like National Geographic or Western Horseman, but they didn't accept my pitches until I was kind of proven in other areas. Like I had to go out and do it on my own and kind of show that, you know, my pictures were in focus before they hired me to go be a photographer kind of thing. And then for the feature films, we've had to like actually get financial investors involved in that just because they're really high budget. You can only ask for so much money kind of thing.
Great, thank you.
Well, so how do you choose what kind of projects you take on or what you're going to work on next? Video, writing, or photography?
I mean, all the stories that I tell are stuff I'm passionate about or has a very personal connection to me. You know, I have a list of, you know, there's like 30 stories that I want to tell, and then just some of them are more prioritized than others. But a lot of it, I think, has to do with timeliness. You know, is there some type of issue that is involved but isn't an issue-oriented thing? I like character-driven stories that is a way to be a vehicle to let people understand about a big issue. Like Unbranded, you know, it was an adventure film, but by the time people ended with it, they had an appreciation for public lands, and they also knew what was going on with the wild horse issue. So, but it wasn't like a beat you in the head kind of type of activist type of film. I like that because the world's complex, you know, it's not black and white, and I don't have the answers for everything. But yeah, I've never had to go out and seek stories so much as I've just lived my life and stumbled into them because I try to hang out with interesting people doing neat stuff.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned, you know, that Unbranded was not just, it was not just an adventure film. Like you also wanted to cover, you know, the topic of wild horses and conservation and public lands. And so I think that message was seamlessly integrated into the story. And I also like that you say you have they're stories that you want to tell. You're not saying, oh, it's an article I want to write or some photos I want to take. They're stories that you want to tell. And so you're very much a storyteller, and I love that that's your focus.
And I'm really excited to see Charge, because Eduardo's story, I think, is so amazing. So, like, to see it told visually, I think it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, he puts the Dos Equis interesting man to shame.
Yes, he does. So, well, you know, telling these stories, getting them out to the public, is that the most rewarding part of your career? And, you know, tell me what the most rewarding part is, and then tell me what the most challenging part of what you do for a living is to you.
I mean, the most challenging part with being an independent photographer, journalist, or filmmaker is getting your stuff funded. It seems like I spend 2/3 of my time chasing down dollars to do what I want to do. So I'm getting better at that, but it definitely crimps your style. I think that the most rewarding part of what I do is seeing the stories get released and seeing it make an impact on somebody's life or some organization. You know, Unbranded got a lot of Mustangs adopted, and I'm really proud of that. I think that's just really cool. I mean, we raised a bunch of money for the Mustang Heritage Foundation through it. So, you know, that story, that film, it actually had a very quantifiable and tangible impact. And I think that's really cool. You know, for Charged, it's an inspirational story. It's a recovery story about a guy who was electrified by a bear. Can't make that up. But you watch that movie, and by the time it's done, you know, every single person in the audience is like, life is so precious. What am I going to do with the amount of time that I have? Because it's not guaranteed. And then, you know, the stuff that we've done with the veterans and the horses and in Montana with Heroes and Horses program, you know, it's just neat to get exposure for organizations like that, or to help them have a tool for fundraising, or it also kind of gives them like a mark of credibility, I think, whenever they get their story published on, you know, a prestigious publication like National Geographic or like Western Horseman. So, you know, I enjoy seeing the work that I put out there make an impact, you know, in the real world.
Yeah, definitely. If you could do it over again, would you choose a different career path?
Would you be a wildlife biologist instead?
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I think about what I'm doing. It's kind of hard because I have somewhat of a public profile, but I don't like people that much. Like, I like the people that I know, but, you know, in general, I really don't like cities that much, and I don't like being the center of attention, but I'm kind of like have to do that sometimes. So sometimes I do wish I didn't have a social media and I just worked on the ranch and got to work with horses all day. I really am jealous of people who have that lifestyle. But at the same time, I have the ability to tell important stories, and I feel somewhat obligated to do that. And it is an honor to do what I do. And it's also a big responsibility to be a storyteller, because you don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you guys understand that. Whenever you dive into something that's complicated or it's complex, or, you know, it's political, but it's not like a black and white thing, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard and you don't want to screw it up.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's definitely a responsibility there, and it's weighty sometimes.
Yeah, and good journalism is it's hard to find because we live in such a clickbaity type of world with, just complete bullshit garbage that's meant for propaganda and fundraising by organizations that claim they're a news source.
You know, you have gone to school for one thing, forged a career in a bit of a different area. So, you know, you were in college really when you started to say, hey, I don't have to do everything the proper way. Hey, I can take off a semester and go guide elk hunts in Wyoming. So if you could give young people, you know, high school, college, young, just out of college folks, some advice to work in the equine or media industry, what would it be?
Avoid balls and chains, like debt or stuff that limits your ability to go. You know, if you're tied up in a house and you've got a bunch of payments and you're like have to be financially responsible to such an extent where you can't take off for 3 weeks to go cover something, but you don't have a name for yourself to actually get a budget to do that as your job. You know, if you have a bunch of ball and chains, whether it's a relationship, whether it is a job, fiscal responsibility, college debt, like all that kind of stuff, it can really get in the way of your ability to go out and spend time to get a story and to do it right. Because it's not like you're going to land high budget gigs at the beginning, or at least I didn't, and I still don't. Like if I tallied up my hours, I'd be terrified to see what I actually make an hour. I think that there's a lot of good people in the world that want to help others out, and not to be afraid to ask. I know that where I'm at today, it's a culmination of a lot of people who believed in me and helped me out. And, I'm eternally grateful for those people and also surrounding yourself with good teammates. That's so critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what if, one of our listeners, a freelancer that's already kind of got some skills writing photography, videography or something, what if they want to maybe take on a big project like Unbranded or working with National Geographic or something like that? Do you have any advice for them on taking the leap on something big like that?
Yeah, I've never had somebody say, hey, Ben, go do this. It's always been, I am going to go do this, and then I'm going to get it started. And then along the way, people saw that it was going to happen, and then they wanted to get involved. I've never had a situation where I'm like, oh, I have an idea. I'm going to pitch this to somebody. And then, I take that back. I have, but at the beginning, that wasn't the way it went. It was like, you have to do it. And then hopefully along the way, somebody's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to give you an outlet to distribute that, or I'm going to give you some budget, or you have to finish it. And then you have to send it out and shop it. And it may, or it may not get picked up and bought. But I think that it's really good practice. Like I've made a few short films that nobody bought. Like I made it thinking somebody would buy it on whenever it was finished, and nobody bought it. And I just, lost a bunch of money. But it was really important to make that so I could put it in my portfolio so that for the next one, people could see a sample of my work.
That's a really good point, that it's not always about the paycheck. Sometimes it's about, one, telling the story, and two, having that for your portfolio. I like that. So you have since Unbranded, and along the way, you've started working with Western Horsemen more and, National Geographic. Do you have any advice for pitching for big publications or even, working with a company like Yeti? Any advice for freelancers that might want to do that?
I think face-to-face meetings are really important. I think that you can get a lot more done in a face-to-face meeting than with an email. You know, you can send out an email pitch to 100 editors, but if you send out a pitch with, I'd like to meet you at your office at 1 o'clock tomorrow to discuss it. And if you're able to get face-to-face time with somebody and they're able to see that, you know, you're passionate about it, that you've thought about it, that you get 30 minutes where they can ask questions and it's not a phone call, it's not Skype, it's like a human interaction. I think that that's really important to have human interaction in a pitch or I mean, not just a pitch, just like with your team in general, you know, or your family, your friends, you know, you have to have a relationship.
Ben, I feel like you would love to put down all technology and just be one of those folks that, you know, lived out off the grid in nature, no people except for your friends and family. I feel like some days you want that job.
Good horses.
Yeah, good horses.
Lots of elk.
Yes, definitely.
I do. And that's why whenever we do a film, we make sure that there's like 3 months in the field.
It's like in your contract. Must go off the grid for this amount of time.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Ben, thank you so much for your time today. How can people follow you, follow your adventures and your projects online?
Well, I have Facebook and I have Instagram, which has been at Seamasters. And then I've got a book, another one that I'm writing, and we're making some films. And then I have a website, benmasters.com. And then brandofthefilm.com has some of my stuff on it too. Yeah, that's all.
That's like enough.
Off the grid, yeah. We'll have links to all those in our show notes.
For sure. So thank you guys for taking the time to listen to us visit with Ben Masters today. Don't forget that you can find show notes and you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting freelancebermuda.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Freelance Bermuda. And be sure to subscribe to that newsletter to get extra content from Ben and our other guests. We'll see you down the road.